Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs show over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by SAMA, the Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art, at the Anderson House, Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years, and by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Jillian Leach, director of the Bedford County Historical Society, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is B. Wise of Somerset Trust, Vice President and Commercial Loan Officer. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall, or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Jer Wink of Bedford County Register of Wills and Recorder of Deeds. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Well, this is indeed a pleasure to be here today because I spoke with Jillian 3 years ago this month, we discovered, in 2015. Jillian has always been such a pleasure to speak with, and it was really great to have her then, and it's great to have her now. So, Jillian, thank you so much for joining us today on Bedford County Speaks. It's great to see you.
Thank you. It's always good to get Bedford County Historical Society out on the map and let the county know what we're doing and what we plan on doing, because we need everybody's help.
Well, that's why we're here. We try to do that with this program, and it's just been great to have you do this. I think a lot of folks come into the museum and to the center here. You obviously are a museum and other things, perhaps looking for things in the past. But you were telling me that you also kind of keep a track of the future and the present as well, because every day if someone brings you something in, they're adding to history, aren't they?
We get lots of calls from people who are cleaning out their house. My mom and dad had this. We don't want it. We don't know what to do with it. So I have a tendency to say, bring it in, we'll look it over. If it's something that we can use to put into our collection, because we are the official historical society for the county, we are the repository, and we try to keep lots of things that people don't know what to do with. We've had lots of things that have been disbanded. The women's club, the men's club, the colonial dames, and we have all those records here that have been brought in. And then my volunteers, today we had someone come in, and they had all kinds of stuff to bring in. We had a lady from Ohio last week that brought in four pictures, four discharges of four college boys that all were in the Second World War. One of them had the Purple Heart, all of his medals. He lost his life. He was with the Flying Fortresses.
Yes.
That bombed Germany and right. Lost his life over the English Channel. So we have all of his records because they don't know what to do with them. So we are trying to take care of all these, to preserve these things for future generations. It's not just French and Indian. It's what's happening today.
Well, what is particularly interesting to me, you've had past exhibits, and the one that I really enjoyed looking at was your World War II exhibit, where you saw people from Bedford who left this town maybe for the first time in their life and went overseas and did that remarkable service that they did and came back. And you had their pictures, you say their medals and the ribbons and the photographs.
Uniforms.
Uniforms and all that stuff. And it really does reflect the history of how people live here. Bedford really isn't that different from other places, is it?
Bedford County is America.
Yeah.
From the French and Indian War up to the present, Bedford County has gone through every good time, every bad time, every war, the Depression, people losing their jobs here, having to go away from here to try to make a living, and all that stuff is here. Bedford County is just the same as any America, just any small town America is what we are. And I would like to say that beginning in November of next year, we are going to be getting the Senator John Hines's World War II exhibit, and we will bring our stuff together again. All the uniforms, all the things that we have here, we'll be putting on display. The exhibit that we have here now is the World War I, and we will be closed over the Christmas holidays. And like we did with our last exhibit, we will be taking it to the courthouse here in December, so that people, while we are closed in December and January, will be able to visit the courthouse and to see our World War I exhibit, the history boards that Larry Smith did. So, like I said, we're trying. Any school wants it. One of the greatest things I did last year was one of the teachers from the middle school in Bedford. She borrowed our World War II, and she borrowed our World War I history boards and some of the artifacts that we had. And she said it was amazing, the pride that the children took. There was one young boy who brought in a picture of his great granddad, and with Eisenhower. And his uniform and his medals, and these kids are dragging things in that have been stored, but they're going home. They're telling their parents and their grandparents are saying, do you know what we have? And they're getting it out. They're sharing it. It's that sense of belonging, that sense of pride that it's not that far ago. You know, it's not that long ago.
Well, of course, much of the stuff you just mentioned is certainly in my memory, and I know it is in yours. In fact, I had a rather tragic experience considering Senator Hines. I was on City Line Avenue in Montgomery County when that aircraft collided with a helicopter with Hines in it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it go down.
That was a trend.
I couldn't have been any more than a mile away. We were just driving up the road, and we just happened, everyone just stopped the cars. And we had no idea who was in it. So obviously his legacy lives on. And the kind of thing you're talking about, having children bring in their artifacts from their homes, these little things to them are a bigger deal to others, aren't they?
Yeah. It's just amazing. It really was. One of the cutest things that we had here, we did the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of children come in from the Everett and the Bedford schools. And I'm talking, and I would say, okay, I'll give you an example. The deals came in here after the Revolution, and one little boy put up his hand and said, deal, and you tell them the story. The next thing you know, there's 10 kids there sticking up their hand and giving you their last names and saying, what about my family? When did they come? You know, what did they do? And then there's always that boy or that girl that gives me a name, and I look at him and I say, it's not a Bedford County name, sorry, but you're here now. But they also, you know, it's just like I said, it's a sense of belonging, of wanting to do that kind of thing.
Well, coming here, I learned about, of course, I'm not from here, and I came here and I learned that, like, the big names in Bedford, Deal, Cessna, names
Richie.
Like that, right? Richie. So if you have those surnames, like, you're already in. It doesn't matter. And I think they kind of all know that. I want to remind you that we are speaking to Jillian Leach, the director of the Bedford County Historical Society, for the second time in 3 years. We try to get here every 3 years, whether we can or not. And I want to remind you also that today's program is brought to you in part by SAMA, the Southern Allegheny Museum of Art at the Anderson House. Bedford County Speaks is brought to you, a morning part of SAMA, the Southern Allegheny Museum of Art. SAMA has just opened their fifth and most exciting museum right here in downtown Bedford. Located on Pitt Street in their beautifully renovated Anderson House, SAMA offers a world-class collection of fine art for the whole family. Right now, the exhibit includes an outstanding group of works by European old masters, as well as local artists, including Kevin Cutts and Mouse Grass. The museum opens daily every day except Tuesdays. For more information, just visit sama-art.org. That's sama-art.org. And also, the program today is brought to you by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. And, of course, our very original sponsor, Thomas Chevrolet, that saves you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And speaking of old names in Bedford, Thomas has to be up there. They've had this dealership in some form or another, 1909.
Probably when the first cars came into this area, I would imagine.
Well, he told me, actually, his great-grandfather had a carriage shop.
Well, that's what I was, yeah.
And they made carriages, and then they just kind of morphed into the to the automobiles when the engines came along.
Well,
so that's the kind of thing you can find here. One thing I found here that was of particular interest to me, Jillian, is I've always had a very interesting interest, I should say, in the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Even when I lived east of here, that whole road fascinated me. And I came in here, and you have an entire collection about that. And what I didn't know until I got here was that Bedford was dead center in the middle of the original turnpike that went from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to Irwin. And the rest stops out here they call Midway because that's exactly where they were. And this is the only place on the entire turnpike main line that has a rest stop on both sides of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned from your information here that there's actually a tunnel between the two buildings. So that's kind of the cool things you can learn when you come here, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, and when I tell you one of the nicest things, when I first started doing my research years ago, I talked to Gerald Yoder. He was a register recorder. And we would talk about the patents here.
Right.
And Mr. Yoder told me the story that when the turnpike went through here, a lot of the families that owned this land had never sold it. When they had filed for those original warrants and the patents, that had never gone out of their families. Unless you sold that land and a deed was issued, that land was still in your family.
Huh.
So that when the turnpike came through, or the state of Pennsylvania came through,
right,
and wanted to buy the land, they brought in what we call all these original land grants. The sheepskins is what they call them. They're great big,
boy,
thick things,
yeah,
with the steels, the seals of Pennsylvania. And Mr. Yoda said then they sold it. That was the first time a deed was ever issued through here. If you didn't have the patent, then nobody owned the land.
Jeez.
But he said a lot of them came in, so a lot of the land ownership and stuff that had never gone out of family since the 1770s up until the 1850s were brought through here.
I went to Harrisburg to talk to a guy named Carl DeFebo, who told me a lot about the turnpike history. And one of the things he told me that when they came through Bedford County, he said they were in such a hurry to build this road. This road, by the way, was completed in less time than any four-lane highway in the history of highways. They put the whole thing together in under 2 years. Imagine going through all those mountains and so forth. So he said they came to Bedford, and he said in order to get things moving, he said they would have a team that would start at the beginning, and the team was lawyers. The lawyers would go to these people like Mr. Yoder, make a deal. He said about 2.5 miles behind them were the surveyors, and about 2.5 miles behind them were the bulldozers.
Yeah.
On the same day.
Because they didn't, like I said, they had no right to, had no right to go onto somebody's land until they looked to see who owned the land. And like I said, the patents were brought in.
But today this would take years. They'd be worrying about bog turtles and all this other thing. He said, but then they just had to get it going. It was partially built as a defense measure for the Pennsylvania National Guard. That was one of the reasons they built the road. So pieces of information like that are the kind of things you can get in here.
One of the things that we have in our collection is that we have one of the, let me explain, it's where Ritchie Road is today. There is a cut in Ritchie Road. It goes through Tussie Mountain. It goes through Earlston,
right,
in Everett. And then as you're going through the mountain there, right above the golf course.
Yes.
Okay, there is a cut there that's was the biggest in the world at that time that was cut through. Hmm. And we have the original photographs of that. When we did a thing down at Everett for the 250th down there, we had an exhibit at the Masonic Temple with the Bloody Run Historical Society. And what we did, we just kind of laid them out, and we said, guess where, guess who? People coming around, and hardly anybody could remember the cut that was made through the ridge there. Where
and
Ritchie
I guess
Road
today,
is.
Being covered with trees and everything, doesn't seem to be quite as impressive as it probably was at
and
that
the
time.
The tunnel right there, you know, as you're going where the Everett Sportsman's Club is. We have some big
makes me
want to
go look
that
at it. We're going to be back in just a second to talk some more with Jillian. Well, I want to remind you, you are listening to Bedford County Speaks, and we'll be right back when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. business? Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We are back at the Bedford County Historical Society with its director, Jillian Leach, and we're in what they call the barn, because that's, in fact, what it was. In fact, it still is a barn. You can still see the hand-hewn beams right above
chestnut.
My head here. Chestnut, really. Ah, back when we had chestnut trees in Pennsylvania, right. Jillian, of course, is like a machine. She just goes on. I have to slow her down. She just goes on. But I'm going to slow you down a little bit. I want you to tell me a couple of things. I've been looking at this thermometer outside for a long time about getting the barn paid off, and you tell me that you're really moving along with this now.
We're doing really, really well. We rent the upstairs, the hall at Kenton's Knob, for parties and stuff. We do some free things, but not a lot, and that helps pay our mortgage, so our mortgage is getting down. We have had a Buy the Barn campaign, and we are down to only owing $35,000 on our barn. Last year, we had a really bad emergency. The rain was so bad and the roof was so bad. And I said to the board, I hate to pay the devil's advocate, but we're going to have to remortgage. We're going to have to borrow this money.
Yeah.
Within a month, I had a gentleman make a proposal that if we could match, get $14,000, he would match $14,000, a Bedford County family. And I was able to do that. The next day, I got a call. And we got $10,000 for that, so we just had to – it was like a godsend.
Boy, that's great.
I mean, it's just like a miracle. It just came in, you know. So I think the Lord takes care of us. I really do.
Sounds like it. And it's in,
yeah.
And that $35,000, I mean, you can't even buy a car today for that. So, I mean, I was down at this lot. And I'm not just talking about Thomas Chevrolet, but any of these. You get one of these great big SUVs, they cost more than a barn.
That's true. But when we started off, we owned over $200,000 on it. So, like I said, we're really doing well. We've had some serious water damage. You know, about a month ago on a Friday, it poured cats and dogs here. We did not know that the east side of the barn, and we had over 100 gallons. Come in under the cement, water damage, and then a Tuesday we had. So with lots of shot vacs and things like that, so we're now going to have to take care of that. But things are still going good for us.
Well, that's super.
And yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about the physical facility, and then we're going to talk about something else. This is a barn, obviously. You use the upstairs for these events you talk about. Down here is your repository. And so is it really technically a museum or not?
We are the official historical society for Bedford County. We are a repository.
Okay, repository is a better way to put it.
We have all kinds of births, deaths, marriages, deeds, wills, family histories, everything from any place.
Yeah, gotcha.
But we also have certain exhibits that were given to us that people wanted.
Right.
The Duffy family gave us one of the most beautiful Indian exhibits that anybody would give their life for, that the Duffys wanted us to have. If you come in, if you remember John Duffy and his Mr. McCleary, they had the old Algonquin Museum on Pencil Hollow Road. We have the old sign up here where for years they showed that. We also have a battle flag of the Army of Tennessee that was donated us to Mouse Robin's wife's family. Mm-hmm. It was brought home by a Union soldier at Sherman's March Through Georgia. There's a collection there. Mount Pleasant Church just gave us the first communion set that they ever had, a beautiful silver communion set. Miss Fletcher, who was the secretary there when she passed away, said to Ivan Smith, that has to go to the Historical Society. She wanted us to have that. So we have all kinds of nice little exhibits. We have the Messerschmitts, gave us Alexander Messerschmitts, his Civil War cappy, and his photographs and everything. So we do have all kinds of good things. We also then have exhibits, because that's what we're supposed to do. Our mission says to preserve, protect, and to show for future generations. So we do the exhibits. We've done the Springs. We've done the Civil War. We've done the Revolutionary War. We now have World War One. We've done sports. We've done the 1940s. But we are here to educate. And in the process of being able to change our exhibits, we are able to allow Bedford County to see the different parts. And we are a history facility. How many people know that in 1754 at the Albany Congress, the Pennsylvania delegate bought the newly acquired Juniata River Valley, had no right to sell. The Iroquois Indians sold it to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania had no right to buy it. And the Shawnee and the Delaware that were here said, to heck with you, and went and joined the French. So starts the French and Indian War.
Yeah, the little
this
things.
This is
really get this stuff going, you know, these little greedy mistakes.
And my favorite thing is when you come in here, you'll see a Royal Ensign that hangs here. And the Royal Ensign is the flag that flew all over the world that the British had in their forts. And before the Revolution here, that's what hung. So we hang it along with the Revolutionary flag to teach our kids when they come in.
Well, we have to remind everybody, of course, we were all once British subjects here, if you go back far enough. Our guest is Jillian Leach, and Jillian is not only the director of this place, but she has recently received an award.
It was really nice. It was out at the Elks. General Metz, Hank Metz, I have known Hank since he came back here with his wife. She was a Wright, Mary Ann Wright, from up in the Broad Top. And Hank had always been a historian.
So he arranged this
award
for you?
He nominated me.
Nominated.
He and his wife, Mary Ann.
So who gave you the award?
The Elks and the Rotary year offer.
Right.
Yes, there were two of us this year. There's a committee.
So this was the Citizen of the Year, was it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so they took you over the Elks and they gave you a Citizen of the Year award. And of course, I read probably a little background of Hallie. So how long have you been here doing this as director?
I have been here working on this for about 40 years. After my youngest son went to school, I had always been a history buff. After my youngest son, Wesley, went to school and I had some time, I saw an article in the Bedford Gazette and they were asking for volunteers. They were going to do the historic site survey.
Yes.
Okay. The incubator.
Right. Yes.
And I volunteered. So I started out with my car volunteering.
Good.
Eventually, they offered me a job at the Planning Commission. And I kind of progressed. So, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So do you have an understudy here?
All my volunteers are my understudies. Yeah. Yeah, we have, there's myself, I'm full-time here.
Right.
Ellen Espenshade is our secretary, bookkeeper. She comes in on Thursdays and Fridays. We have a board of 9 members that tell us what to do within reason.
I mean, have you lined up some succession here to keep this thing going?
No, but I plan on being here for a while,
I'm not trying to get rid of you. The reason I ask is I see so many of these things charged up people like you. And for whatever reason, they have to leave or become ill or whatever. And then the whole place kind of starts to disintegrate a little bit. So that's why I asked about understudies, because this is a tremendous, tremendous organization you have built here. And I would like to see it continue.
It will, because I'm waiting on the next generation who are waiting to retire. And I'll say, Jillian, I'm going to retire before, they're going to retire. I have some of my volunteers are younger than me, and you're starting to teach one.
You don't want to get another 30-year-old in here.
No.
Okay.
Well, if they had the time and the ability.
Yeah.
But But you don't. Most of the people who are here are retired educators, people who have a love of history.
Gotcha.
Most 30-year-olds are out making a living with their husband and taking care of a family. Now, they might be doing a little history, but they can't dedicate and volunteer like we did for a long time. Yeah. So, like I said, it'll be that next generation of
because
my children.
Because a lot of the organizations I talk to on this radio program, volunteer organizations, talk about the really critical problem of volunteers today. I mean, you know, and people, you know, all older people say, well, when I was young, I did. But I think there's something to it. I remember when I was 30 or 40 years old, or even younger, there was a large cadre of volunteers, especially young couples that were married and had small children. And we don't see that like we used to. And I think it has to do with society, what's happened. We have both people working now. We have all this chaos going on, taking children to school and all these activities. Okay. And so the volunteerism's kind of been shoved aside. So you've seemed to manage that pretty well here.
Well, I try to drag in anybody I can. If they can't cut and clip out obituaries and old photograph albums, I'll try to find something for them. Most of them today can run a computer, which was something I wasn't educated to do. You know, so they have a place too. But I think the first thing is if they have a love of history, they come in here and they want to take care of their family. So then they start to learn what's available, the records that are available, that type of thing is what's important.
So let's talk about something in the future. You are going to celebrate, not you, the entire county is going to celebrate its 250th anniversary. 1771 was the founding of the county. So I guess 2021 is the big day.
Yes.
So do you have a plan for this or what's going to happen?
Well, we have a plan. We formed a committee here several years ago. We went to the Bedford County Commissioners. They gave us permission to head the 250th, and the only reason is because if everybody wants to celebrate, we can keep the calendar. So everybody's not doing everything on the same day. We're trying to get it to do. Right. One of the first thing we do is that Larry Smith is heading up. We're doing a new history book. A history book has not been done in Bedford County since the history of Bedford, Somerset, and Fulton County in 1884. Then there was a three-volume set that was done of Bedford and Somerset in 1906. There was one done here called Kernel of Greatness that was done for the bicentennial, but nothing really important. So at this point in time, Larry Smith is heading up history. And I would like to suggest, and Larry has been begging, and so has Bill Mock, to say we have copies of the townships. They would like to invite you to come in, see what is written. If there are corrections, if there's things that you know, we have already put this in the newspaper, but they would love you to come in. Bill is constantly asking, did someone come in?
Gotcha. Right.
To do that. But this would be a good thing to before we start to publish it.
Well, I would love to talk to you about this all day, but you have done a wonderful job as always. We're pretty much out of time. Very best of success to you with this project, especially the 250th. It's just been a pleasure to speak with you, Jillian. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you very much. Hey, Bedford County, let's get out and come visit us.
There you have it from Jillian. I want to say many thanks to Jillian and her wonderful staff at the Bedford County Historical Society for providing such an excellent service to the county. Bedford County's heritage is richer than others. It not only precedes the French and Indian War and the American Revolution, but also the very existence of many counties in southwestern Pennsylvania. Jillian's accomplishments over the years speak for themselves. Society welcomes visitors from all over the nation and several foreign countries who come here to learn about this historic corner of Pennsylvania. Jillian Leach was our very first guest at Bedford County Speaks in July of 2015, and on this program, she will be the very last. I want you to know how much I appreciate your support of the program over the past 3 years. Please patronize our radio sponsors, the Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art, SAMA, at the Anderson House, Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day, and of course our original sponsor, Thomas Chevrolet, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. Keep listening to News Talk 1310, because shortly there will be a major announcement about the station. Have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.